Monster Man, Episode 353, Elder Ghoul and Grey Philosopher. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're taking a look at two more monsters from the Undead section of Creature Catalog, the 1986 supplement for Basic Dungeons & Dragons. First up, another quick update in the ongoing saga of the Monster Man production schedule. I mentioned a good few episodes ago, sometime last year, that production was being slowed down a little bit because of some health problems that I've been having. And the good news is that I went to the doctor, and as you can appreciate, during lockdown, ear, nose, and throat clinic appointments are hard to come by. But in the end, I did get one. And apparently I have something called muscle tension dysphonia. And this is a thing where the muscles of your larynx are too tense. They're sort of too flexed. And the result is that it's difficult to speak and uncomfortable to speak. And one of the things that you're supposed to do is not talk so much. So the current reduced rate of production may continue for a while as I figure out ways to cope with this condition. You know, it's not supposed to be so bad. Like, it can be stress-related. It often occurs to people as they're getting older. And you deal with it with kind of like vocal therapy, vocal exercises, things like that. So hopefully it's not too bad. But as I work on that, the current rate, or even maybe a little slower, should be expected. Hopefully, production won't be interrupted too much. I may still use guest readers for those things where guest readers have been helpful, but it just didn't necessarily work super well with my production schedule. So anyway, that's where we are at present. I just thought I'd keep you updated. Now, on with the monsters. Our first monster for today is the Elder Ghoul. Just like the name sort of implies, this is a ghoul that's a bit older, and it's a bit more powerful. I mean, it's like a normal ghoul, but when attacked, it generates this sphere of energy that weakens people who fail their saves, you know, presumably softening them up for the other ghouls. Although, I have read people pointing out that, rules as written, the Elder Ghoul's energy sphere thing also affects other ghouls, so there's no reason why you would find an Elder Ghoul amidst a pack of ghouls when it's just gonna mess them up with its big energy bubble. But I feel like that is one of those things that probably didn't get applied in the first place, and if it did, shouldn't have, and you can just ignore or amend that. Because I definitely think that the Elder Ghoul's purpose is to be a leader and kind of support unit for ghoul fights. You know, we've seen quite a lot of this kind of thing in this book and in Monster Manual 2 as well, adding variants to existing monster types. It's fine. I think it's interesting primarily because it speaks to a perceived need to make ghoul fights or ghoul-themed scenarios more varied. That ghouls are definitely one of those types of monsters that you could have, like, City of the Ghouls. But if you go to the City of the Ghouls, and it's just ghouls, 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 and they all have the same stats, and they all kind of have the same tactics, and the same things are used to beat them, then that's not very exciting. So I can understand why there's a desire for more variation. Third edition tried to fix this problem by making monsters very customizable, so that you could, you know, you had the basic stats for a dragon, but then you could make an undead dragon, or a demonic dragon, or whatever, right? The problem was that that just wound up being quite complex a lot of the time. It was more work than it was to just look something up. So there's a trade-off. When you make customizable monsters, you're asking the DM you put in the effort to customize them. When you produce customizable monsters, you're charging the DM money and time to do something they could have done themselves. So, it's, you know, I don't think there's a right balance. There's just a balance that's well-suited to the needs of particular game masters. In this specific instance, I don't know what this big energy bubble thing is supposed to be, and it doesn't quite work for me. It's interesting that it's quite similar to the Aggarat, which also has an area effect attack that weakens people. I feel like the shriek that fills your bones with blood-curdling terror is more on theme than a big energy field. It just feels more ghoulish. So I feel like I would sort of combine these two into a single monster. Next up, we have the Grey Philosopher, and the Grey Philosopher is pretty strange. The Grey Philosopher is the undead spirit of an evil, or as they're called in this edition, chaotic cleric, and it has died in the midst of contemplating its evil philosophies, and it has not yet reached a conclusion. And so it's restless spirit. Well, it's not that restless. It just kind of hangs out thinking about philosophy. It's a ghostly
robed figure, and it sort of chills, thinks about philosophy, and its philosophical ponderings are so evil that over time, once every couple of decades, they spawn an evil thought called a malice, which basically appears as a little kind of ghosty thing, sort of tethered to the Grey Philosopher. And Grey Philosophers are nonviolent, they don't interact, they don't talk, they don't whatever, right? The real danger is the malices. And the malices are quite interesting. They attack like they have 9 hit dice, but they only actually have 1 hit die. They are monsters that are offensively very powerful, but are also very easy to destroy. One good area effect spell will clear out a room full of malices pretty fast. If the Grey Philosopher itself is attacked, it doesn't defend itself, it doesn't do anything, but if it's destroyed, it looks up, quote, with an expression of malicious enlightenment, and then it vanishes, quote, with a lingering scream of evil delight, as if you murdering it has revealed to it the final secret of evil, which is presumably something to do with the fact that the Grey Philosopher was literally just sat there minding its own business, and then you came along and thwacked it with your Mace of Disruption. Now, the Grey Philosopher appears to be a creature that is original to Creature Catalog. It's not in any other Beck-Me scenario that I can find. In fact, the only scenario that I know it turns up in is in an issue of Dungeon Magazine from 1989, and that scenario is written by Carl Sargent. Carl Sargent's an interesting character. Carl Sargent was a parapsychologist. He got his PhD from Cambridge University. He was in Cambridge at the same time that the TSR UK crew would have been working in Cambridge, and I gather they knew each other, you know, when they all went off to Games Workshop, and then subsequently Wufferup got spun off to Flame Publications. Sargent freelanced for them as well then. So there's clearly a connection there, and his scenario from that Dungeon Magazine issue does contain some other creatures that first appeared in Creature Catalog. So I don't know if this is something that's originally a Sargent creation, but he's not credited in the book, so probably not. But if it was created by one of the TSR UK crew, then it's created by someone that he knew and presumably like gamed and hung out with. And therefore, perhaps what we're dealing with is just that when he wrote his scenario, he wanted to big up, you know, the work of his friends. Or he just really liked it. You can see why. The Grey Philosopher is very interesting and atmospheric. I love the concept. I saw that someone had written in a forum thread that they have a very basic Dungeons & Dragons feel about them, and I think that's right. They're kind of eerie and mysterious. They don't really have a goal or agenda. They're not kind of narratively compelling, but they're definitely giving you a lot of information about what sort of environment you're in, and I think that that's very interesting. They're definitely a diminishing returns monster, you know, after you've had one or two of them, it doesn't seem like there's much point. You could certainly have, like, a ruined temple where there was some cabal of Grey Philosophers who were, like, had once been the monks of that temple. I can see that. So they're cool and fun and atmospheric. You're probably not going to use them more than once or twice, but, you know, at that rate, they're still very good value for money. All right, so that's about all the monsters that we have time for today. Our next episode this week, well, if you're a Patreon subscriber, you're going to get a new episode of Patron Deities, as well as the month-end wrap-up episode for March. On the main feed, our next episode is going to be a My Favorite Monster special, and it's a good one. I've sat down with game writer Gareth Ryder Hanrahan, and we've talked about adapting... Well, we started out talking about adapting Cthulhu Mythos monsters to fantasy settings, but we wound up being more about like the principles of adaptation in general, and it was really interesting. It went on quite long, so I'm going to have to cut it down, but hopefully you're going to enjoy what you hear at the end of this week. So please tune in then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.